Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last month, on Mother's Day, curiously enough, I spoke to you mostly about fathers. But that was for St. Joseph. It was his solemnity, and he is the legal, the adoptive, and the true father of our Lord. But I also spoke about fathers because, well, you can't see a father or a mother in isolation. That's one of the great modern errors of the day. It's the way of individualism. Everything today is separation and division and opposition. That started with Martin Luther, keeping everybody apart, dividing Christendom itself. Everyone must be autonomous, off someplace, talking to himself in his own little cubicle. The citizen, said Luther, is not the Christian, and the Christian is not the citizen, all divided. But ours is a religion of unity. We are Catholics, universal, throughout the whole world, with one faith and one moral code and one worship. And so we sing at the start of today's Holy Mass, "Blessed be the Holy Trinity, blessed be the undivided unity." Indeed, the three persons of our God, the one true God, the Trinity, may only be known in the relationship to each other. The Father, in other words, is a Father because he generates a Son to whom he communicates or gives all that he has from all eternity. And the Son is only distinct from his Father in this as being the one who is generated, brought forth. Without beginning, he is the image and the wisdom and the well-beloved one of his Father. And the Holy Ghost is only distinct and known from the other two persons of the Trinity as being spirated, that's the technical term, or breathed forth by the Father and the Son together, their infinite love for each other. On earth, for man is made in the image and the likeness of God, it takes then more than one. It takes a father to make a mother, and a mother to make a father. And no amount, as we saw last month, no amount of new laws or of new thought or of new civil rights and court decisions will ever change this. We also see today fathers taken for granted, somewhat forgotten. Perhaps it was ever so. And yet, if society is dissolving today in the turmoil and the torment of a real revolution, it is because fatherhood, not the physical feat alone, but real fatherhood, worthy of the name, worthy of that father from whom all paternity in heaven and in earth is named, St. Paul reminds us, fatherhood is disappearing. Men have turned into boys, and there is no one left to help boys turn into men. And for all of their crucial importance, which secular society seems still somehow to acknowledge today, fathers, face it, will always come in second to mothers. Even on their day, I notice each year, you know, people turn in, you turn in the Mass remembrances for this Mass for Father's Day. And I always note for Father's Day, when that comes around, that the number of remembrances of names to put on the altar are about half as many as you get for Mother's Day. Poor fathers, they give so much, but because they are fathers, they understand that. They give so much and they get so little, except maybe lip or attitude from spouse and offspring And that is hard to understand. But we ought to pause in prayerful awe this Trinity Sunday at the marvel of Christian marriage in its ideal. It is meant to mirror, man is made in the image of God, the unselfish love of the human father, the respect of wife and of children, which are a reflection of the Trinitarian life itself. Last month, some of the 7:30 Mass mothers were missing the customary Mother's Day sermon, which they look forward to, I am told, each year, it seems. And they suggested that perhaps this year, for Father's Day, I should give the Mother's Day sermon that they missed. Well, that wouldn't be a difficult thing to do, because as I say, they are so united. Fathers, first of all, of course, were it not for your own mother, you would never be here today. Nor would you be celebrating Father's Day without a wife at your side, the mother of your children. For their sake, as we say, for the children, you must love her very much. This is the very best gift you could give them, because you, a father, you know, if you're really a father, that it's all about giving, and rarely, if ever, about getting. Were it not for our Blessed Mother, we would never know the gift we have all gotten in abundance of God's love, the mystery of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. But the Eternal Father did seek out in time one woman, she who had been prepared from all eternity to be mother of his Son, his image and his wisdom. He sends by the angel, this is the first joyful mystery, to ask her assent to the incarnation. Gabriel's greeting in the Latin, Ave, as in Ave Maria, the fathers of the church say, that turns around the curse of Eva or of Eve. And Mary seals the deal by saying, Fiat, let it be done to me according to thy word. Motherhood is so high, so honorable, so holy in the divine plan for man that the devil has never ceased to attack it. Oh, he does it today with a vengeance. On the level of morals, you have, of course, divorce and serial marriages one after another, and abortion and birth control. It started with that, and now it ends with perversion. And on the level of religion, ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan, our adversary, well named, has been spawning countless false, Gnostic, or New Age religions, such as we've seen together this year, twisting everything, making original sin into a blessing and a good thing, and making the serpent into the goddess, the mother goddess, they call her Sophia, blasphemously usurping the name of the Son of God himself, claiming that she represents the true divine. But we will see the truth of that today. The first truth of motherhood is this: what a glory that God not only chose a mother for himself, our Blessed Mother, but that God also chose to be a mother to us. How could this be? In the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus, here in the Sacred Host, whom our little ones just received a week ago on Pentecost with the Holy Ghost. Jesus here is our Father, first, whose love is watchful and strong, and whose name is, St. Paul says, Abba, Pater, vaguely Daddy or Dad in English. But this does not begin to exhaust the infinite riches of divine love in the Holy Eucharist, which we are meant to celebrate this week, come Thursday with Corpus Christi. What is the defining characteristic, what would you say, of a mother's love? I mean, after its self-sacrificing strength, if not this devoted tenderness. The Father gives his all, providing, protecting, guiding, correcting, but the mother is. She is gentleness. She is the soft touch of sweetness. She is tenderness itself, tempered with toughness for staying power. She gives her child life and nourishes him in her womb before that baby ever tastes her milk. And long after, she still is allowing herself to be given wholly to her child. How could she forget one of her own? How could our Lord forget any of us? He made already Isaiah in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost did, to prophesy this. Even if it were possible for a mother to forget the fruit of her womb, yet never will I forget thee. And our Eucharistic Lord models himself, you see, upon motherhood, annihilating his divinity and his humanity, reducing them, as it were, to spiritual milk under the fragile white appearance of the sacred host. Why? To feed us, as St. Paul says, like newborn babies. He not only draws us to himself to be fed by gentleness with inexhaustible patience, he makes himself little with the little, like a mother of a little child who overlooks everything out of love, bearing with everything for us. For us, and who are we if not his capricious children? We are far more spoiled, you know, in our behavior than even the most monstrous child in our midst. Jesus loves us and wills that we should still come to him and find there nothing but kindness and his caress. Ah, Father Jesus, in this sacrament, kind Savior, thou art mother to us as well, in the tenderness of a love which is too strong ever to forget. Could motherhood hear higher praise than this, that God not only chose a mother for himself, but also chose himself to be a mother for us, here in this sacrament where he watches and waits, and one could almost say worries, where he welcomes us and cleans us up and listens to us and loves us and cheers us and feeds us. Behold, I am with you all days. That gospel of today is fulfilled every day in the tabernacle, even to the consummation of the world. When you are with him, it might be a good thing to pray, as one of the great early American saints, St. Peter Claver from South America, the Jesuit father and missionary, he taught his converts, after they were baptized, to pray this way every day. O Jesus Christ, only Son of God, thou art my Father, my Mother, my treasure, my only good. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.